nice segue into where I'm going this morning. Well, how are you all feeling this morning? Alive and with it? All right, amen. It was a crazy week for me. Have you ever had a crazy week? Love, you know what? There was a day and age when I used to just love having every night of the week full of something and every day full of something. Not so much anymore. Not that I don't love it. I find I don't have the energy for it. And so it was one of those weeks that there wasn't a night this week that I wasn't someplace and that. And again, there were lots of busy things happening here during the day. But you know what? God is faithful in all of it. It was all good. All of it was really good. I got to go on Friday night with a few of my fellow believers here to Edmonton, to the FCA Reclaim, where the pastors and church leaders from around Alberta gathered together to pray to reclaim the things that we felt we have lost and to think about, you know, that time that we had off for a few years there. And some of the things that are lost, some of the things that have changed, and some of the things we want to reclaim back. There's stuff that got shaken off that needs to be shaken off. But we want to keep the church family together and coming. And so this morning, not that had anything to do with what we're talking about today. Krista, are you able to put the PowerPoint up? Thank you. Thank you. Ready to go. So this morning, and hopefully we'll have this, is the pointer on the PowerPoint screen. Are you doing that? I just want to do something. I changed the batteries last week, and I just want to make sure, because remember how it wasn't working last week? I want to make sure they're in the right way this week. Nope. Oh, there. No, yeah, they are. They're good. I actually tested them. So let me just see. Can I back? Okay, we're good happening. Okay, the body. Well, we have been going through 1 Corinthians, and today we're going to continue on, but we have been looking at the problems and the issues in the gospel solution. Today I just want to kind of narrow it down a little bit and talk. We're going to talk about the body and just kind of focus in on that. Not the problem, but really, again, it's an identity thing of who we are. So my first question is what is the purpose of the church gathering? Like, why do we come, and I'm going to say this, in person and gather together? What's the purpose of that? We have got a different day and age where we've got all this wonderful technology, and I'm going to call it wonderful because it is when it works. When it's not, it's accursed, because I curse it. But we have this, but sometimes we take a good thing. We have opportunities to share the gospel all through the world with this, the new technology and the videos and that. But sometimes we take those technologies and they get used for things that aren't appropriate. And one of the things that has happened is people got very comfortable staying at home. Very comfortable watching from home. I don't have to get dressed. I have my coffee. I got my slippers. I can watch at home. Now, this morning I happen to know, guess what season we've entered again? Well, and what comes with fall? Cold and flu season. Any mother who has children in school, hello, Krista, how many times have your kids been homesick already? One, oh, you're doing good. But that just happens. You get the cold, and of course, we live in a farming community, and it is dusty this year. And that, and we get sinus, you know, just, and we're living a little more concerned, I'm going to say it that way, about when we start not feeling good and we get sent home or we feel we should stay home. Now, quite honestly, if you have a cold, please stay home. Don't come coughing and sneeze. Stay home. Take care of yourself. And again, we do recognize that kind of things. But sometimes we get oversensitive. And again, like I said, what happened is I think we got pretty comfortable doing church from our easy chair. And we're talking about the body and the importance of gathering together as the church. And we are, so here's where we're moving. Why the church gathering? Why here? Why can't we just do it all online and stay in our pajamas? And what happens? Well, how many of you know that when you come together here, there's something that happens in a group? There's something that happens that is different than when you're just by yourself or just one or two. There's a synergy. There's a thing that happens as we gather together. One of the things is it's a time and place where God's Spirit should be working in everybody and happening in a united way. And now, we're not going to get into it this morning, but before Paul starts sharing about the body in chapter 12, he talks about the spiritual gifts and the gifts that move and that. We're going to look at that another time, but the thing is that every part of the body is important. And we want to work together. We want nobody to just be sitting there. Now, one of the reasons I was talking about, you know, the video thing and being at home and the flu season and all that is I happen to have gotten many calls in the last few days about people who are homesick. And please pray for us. We want to be there. And they're homesick. We want to lift up Wendell and Joyce. For those of you who didn't hear, Wendell had an accident, a motorcycle accident, and he's home recovering. And I'm going to say he's doing fine, but I think right now he's still pretty sore and tender. And then there's, I know Keith and Neil are off celebrating. Their neighbors' children are being dedicated today, so they're off blessing them and that. But, I mean, there's reasons to be away, but the sick thing is, like I said, poor people are sick. But that doesn't give us an excuse to stay away, right? We come back together. And we want to come back together because the body needs you. Let's look at the next thing. Okay. We come together because we want to share what we have in common, and that's Jesus. And we want to celebrate and worship the Father. We want to worship Jesus. We want to worship the Holy Spirit in unity as one body. And again, I talk about sort of that synergy that happens as we come together and share together. Next thing is, as we gather, this time is a place of coming together to build each other up, to care for one another, to encourage each other and are in our shared faith. And again, it's not about just coming here and sitting here Sunday morning and singing a few songs, listening to a kid's story, hearing the message, standing and praying and leaving. If that's all it is, that's just a tradition and a routine, and it has no life. And you are life. You are part of the body of Christ, full of life. Last Sunday, we took communion and we looked at communion. And that word communion is koinonia. It means fellowship. It means intercourse. It means intimacy. And when we look at that word and we get the first word and we go, because, you know. But it talks about a closeness. And that closeness when we took communion is that fellowship we have with Jesus. When you think about taking the cup and the bread and what happens when you put that bread in your mouth, when you drink that wine, what happens to it? It becomes a part of your body. It becomes a part of you. And it represents not only what Jesus did, but the fact that we are a part of him and he is a part of us. We are part of this body, this fellowship. We become partners with him in all that he has inherited. We get to inherit it, not because of anything we have done, but because of what he's done, and we are in him. We're one. I got to put my glasses on because I can't read without them now. That's kind of sad. Now, when you first believed in Jesus, when you first came to that place where you believed and received him, Holy Spirit did something incredible. And that was, you were baptized into the body of Christ. And we use that word baptized because it means to totally immerse. And you know when you take a sponge and you stick it in the water and squeeze it and let go of it, what happens? It absorbs water. It is completely filled and surrounded by the water. You are baptized, immersed fully into the body of Christ. You're fully in Christ. And sometimes we just kind of take it as just this kind of little theological. But when you meditate on what that means, when you really understand, you are in Christ. And think about all that Jesus did through his cross, or what he did on the cross, through his burial and resurrection. What you have inherited in Christ, what he's inherited is what you've inherited. You share. And we're talking about how intimate is that? And it's when we get our hearts connected with how wonderful it is to be a part of this body of Christ. Let's go on with a few scriptures we shared last week. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're filled with Holy Spirit. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. We are one. And sometimes we tend to live in a culture that is very separate. Now, we do encourage that you as an individual have to make the choice for Jesus. You as an individual have to seek and look through the Word and grow in the Word and connect with God for yourself. But you're not alone and you're not separate. And that's what Paul is going to address as we look in Corinthians here this morning. You are a part of the body of Christ. Now, for a minute, we're going to just take a look at the human body. He's using the metaphor of the human body. So let's think about the skeletal system. Hard bones that helps keep us standing upright. They're designed to fit into one another so that they can bend and move, and they hold us upright. And the bone helps produce blood. They're part of the function that helps produce blood in our body. Well, let's look on to the muscular system. Now let's think about muscles. They are all woven around those bones, connected with one another. They help us move. They give us strength. And if we work at it, they give us a really nice shape. Or not, if we don't work at it. But think about that just alone. And then let's move on to something called the stomach. Well, that stomach breaks down things. It digests things. It starts to help us, you know, as we take it in and we chew it up. And it works in conjunction with the intestines, and it starts bringing nutrients and food and getting rid of wastes. And it's amazing. What about the little thing called the circulatory system? Wow. It's amazing. How many, I wish I could remember, I think the name of the, there was a, I'm going to call it a show, I don't know what else could, but at the Space Science Center called, I think it was called Body Works, or the Body Works. It was incredible, and if you didn't get to see it, and maybe some of you just think it was too gruesome, people had offered their bodies to science after they had passed away, and this gentleman and a team had found a way to plasticize the real body, if I can put it that way. And they did the circulatory system, and they did the bone structure, and they did all kinds. And when you walked through, you realized that you were looking truly at human bodies that had been living but had passed and are now. And you got to see the incredible work of God. You walk through that. It was amazing. And you see all the intricate little nerves. You could see them. They did the nervous system. They did the circulatory system. They did the lungs. They did everything. And it was amazing to look at ourselves without skin on, if I can put it that way. Yes, kind of gruesome maybe, but amazing at what the Lord has created. So we think about the circulatory system. We've got all these blood vessels and veins that run through our bodies that bring blood loaded with nutrients and oxygen, and it feeds all the parts of our body. And then there's a little thing called the pancreas that helps regulate those energy, all of that the energy that comes into our body. There's the pulmonary system, which is our hearts and our lungs, the pumping stations that pump that blood, that do the air exchange within our body. There's the liver and the kidneys. Excuse me just a sec. And the bowels that are the cleaning. They cleanse us and help filter out and remove impurities and that which is no longer needed. Then we come to the brain. That itself is an amazing thing. And it's connected to all the nervous system that runs down our spine and out into our body. Amazing how it functions. How many of you have just told yourself to breathe? Didn't need to. Because there's that sympathetic that just automatically does it for you. Your heart automatically pumps. Your lungs are automatically breathing. Your body is doing these things. But on top of that, then we have the brain that actually thinks and comprehends. Amazing. How many of you like the fact that you have sight? That you can hear? That you can smell? That you can taste? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste. How about just touch? To feel and to touch. There are so many things that we just take for granted that are just incredible. And then on top of it, there's something called the reproductive system. That in itself, how we are able to reproduce, how God has created us male and female to come together and we can reproduce another human being. It's incredible what God has created. A body that can move and play and dance and work and do sports. We can lift things. We can lift a baby and care and tend. We can do so many things because we have a body. And when our body works together, when it's working and functioning properly, it's glorious. And then we know what it feels like when it doesn't. When it's not working as it should be. Psalm 134, 13 and 14 says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it full well." That is the human body. And then Paul steps in and says, "Now, you are the body of Christ. You are this created, knit together thing, fearfully and wonderfully made for his glory and for his works." And though this may seem like a jump, I don't think it is a jump to jump to say, to think about how we operate together as a body. Sometimes we don't take it seriously, or we don't recognize how important it is. We don't recognize how important we are to the body. We are his body. And again, Paul is going to use this metaphor, and we're going to get there in just a minute, to help bring us understanding of the new state of being we have in Jesus. There is oneness. We are unified with Jesus. We are unified with the Father. We are unified with the Holy Spirit. We are one. And yet in that, we serve differently. And again, this morning, we are focusing not just on, we're focusing on the church gathering, coming together as the body here. And we know that the body goes out. But right now, we're going to just focus here, the body, the church here as we gather together. This oneness that we have in Jesus. Now think about this. We are one with Jesus. In him, we live. And that word live means enjoy real life. And it's hard for us to think, in him, in this body, we enjoy real life with Jesus. Yeah. And we move. Well, aren't you glad your body moves? And you know what? This body moving is evidence of life. Our body moving, the body of Christ moving, is evidence of his life. And of course, we have our being, which means we exist. In him, we have real life. We have evidence of life, and we exist as the body of Christ. We are a part of his body, and each of you are a part of it. And it's sort of like this, like my leg. My leg is a part of my body. It's not separate from my body, but it's called my leg. But it's still a part of my body. If it becomes not a part of my body, what happens? It dies. Gets cut off. Whatever function you have in the body, and again, there's gifts and talents and Holy Spirit gifts that the Lord gives us to function in the body, and they're not all going to be the same. You have a function in the body, and we want to encourage you to function. We don't want to be like the part of the body that isn't a part of the body, if I can put it that way. And here's the other thing. As part of the body, you are not separate from each other or insignificant. So let's get into, sorry, that was from Acts there. Let's get into 1 Corinthians 12. What do you think I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It is all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If the foot said, I'm not elegant like the hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to the body, would that make it so? If the ear said, I'm not beautiful like the eye, limpid and expressive. I don't deserve a place on the head. There's that beautiful limpid eye. Would you want to remove it from your body? No. If the body was all eye, how would you hear? Oh, come on. If all ear, how could you smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each of us, each part of the body, right where he wants it. Beautiful young people. But I also want you to think about how to keep your self-significance from getting blown up into self-importance. Back to the hand. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. There's nobody who's more significant than another. And your significance comes because of your part of the body of Christ. Do a little worship there. Yeah. Come on, moving along. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. Whatever we have, what we have is one body with many parts, each proper, its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. No part is important on its own. Think about that amputated leg. It's worthless or useless on its own. It needs the body. Don't know what's happening, Krista. Can you get... is the mouse on that? Okay, let's see. Thank you. Let's see if we got to move on. Can you imagine the eye telling the hand to get lost? Or the head telling the foot, you're fired, your job has been phased out. There it goes. As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way around. The lower parts and the more basic parts are there and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but you can't live without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body, you are concerned with it. Makes no difference whether it's a visible part or a clothed or a lower or higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparison. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, would you prefer good digestion or full-bodied hair? The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part depends on every other part. The parts we mention, the parts we don't, the parts we see, and the parts we don't see. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept you are part of the body does your part mean anything. That's an interesting statement. You have to accept your part or it has no meaning. We got all our peeps here. Sorry, I wish I had more pictures of everybody else, but I have limited number, and it just reminded me we need to start taking pictures again. Okay, I'm just going to leave it like this for a second. We get a picture of the body through that, don't we? Who we are, that we're important. And sometimes as a church family or as a church, you know, sometimes as believers, you know, we really do see ourselves as more important sometimes than others. And sometimes we don't see ourselves with enough significance. But I want to ask you today, which part of your body do you not want to do with? Would you be happy to just get rid of? Anybody? you can just take my eyes. I'm okay without them. You can just take my toes. I'm okay. No. Anybody ever stubbed their toe? Everybody ever had a cracked nail on something? How significant is that? Those nails, the toes, finger, everything. It's significant. And each one of you are significant to the body. Again, before Paul gave the imagery of the body, he talked about all different kinds of gifts and things that the Holy Spirit does through the different people to build up the body, to encourage the church. And again, we're going to look at that next time. But I want you to take away today a couple of things. First, understanding that you are a part of something bigger than just yourself. And second, the body of Christ, sorry. And second, the body needs you and requires you for it to be able to function as God intended us to. Along with understanding, we need to come together. We're going to get here. We want to hold on unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promises faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We shouldn't be meeting less often, but more often. We shouldn't be, as some of the translations put it, stop meeting together, neglecting, forsaking meeting together. How many of you can say the day, capital D, is approaching? You understand that the day is talking about the return of the Lord, that things in this world are changing, and we need the body more than ever. And so this morning, I'm just going to speak to those who may be listening to it recorded or online. I really hope it hasn't become just a convenience for you. I know there are times we do need to stay home and aren't well. But if it's just a convenience because, I'd have to get up early Sunday morning, are you being a part of the body? I'm not saying you're not a member of the body, but are you being a part of the body? Or are you being like that amputated leg? And what happens when it's not meeting with the body, not coming together, when it's not a part of the body? It's still a piece of the body, but it's not a part of the body. Eventually, it dies and it rots. God said, and maybe he knows what he's talking about, in his word, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, because we want life. We need one another. We need the circulation happening through the whole body. We need to be together to encourage one another. Because sometimes we think it's just about us and what we get out of it, but we forget. You come with something to give to the body. And we want to be a functioning whole piece, a whole body, functioning as the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and we want to be functioning, and we want to be operating as that body. We're united with him. You know, one of the things that happens when we become a new believer, we're to put off the old man and to put on the new one. And sometimes we just think, again, that's an individual. No, you're putting on Jesus. You're becoming a part of him. You become a part of him. And again, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we have to sometimes get past our own intellect and understand by heart, by our faith in Jesus, what has happened. So let's just take a moment as we finish up here and pray. And just, if you're curious, like, Lord, what is my part in the body? Well, first, it's to show up. And second, let's let Holy Spirit speak to you. And again, we'll look more about that. But let's bow our heads. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you're good to sit, we'll just sit. So Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you. The amazing thing that has happened, that we have been baptized into the body of Christ. That we matter, each of us matter. That we're a part of something that's living. We're excited about what's going on, Lord, that you've given us real life to enjoy in Christ. And so, Father, I pray over each one here. Holy Spirit, just speak to their hearts. What is the gifts? What is the function that they have here? Just make it real to them now. And Father, we want to give you the glory and the praise in the name of our Lord Jesus. And as we go into this week, Lord, I thank you that you will keep encouraging him. Thank you, Jesus. And reminding them that we are one. One with one another and one in you, Jesus. One in you, Father. One in you, Holy Spirit. That you have brought us together. We give you praise and glory. In your precious name we pray. And all God's saints said, amen. Amen. That's right. Bless you guys. Have a great week. And don't forget potluck next Sunday. And we do have prayer meeting tonight. And there's a poster on the back if some of you also wanted to go over to Century Meadows that are having a sing-along tonight there too. So just encourage you with that. Bless you. Oh, you know what? Hold on. You know what? I have, can we sit together for just a sec? Would you bring the prayer box up? I have forgot to do this for the last couple of Sundays, and we need to do this. In fact, I think what we should do is do it at the beginning during announcements so we don't forget. We want to pray for the things. And that, thank you. And we want to remember Wendell and those that have called in that were not feeling well and that. So if you just want to stretch your hands out towards the box, and we'll just, Father, we thank you. We thank you as the body of Christ that we are in Christ, and Christ is the healer. Jesus is the healer. And so that you, as we speak in the authority you've given us, Jesus, we speak over all sickness and disease, all injury, and we command it to be healed now in the name of Jesus because of his stripes, because of your blood, Lord. Father, for anything else, for all the needs that are unspoken, we thank you that you are provider. You're Jehovah Jireh. And that you meet every need. And so, Father, we give you the glory and the praise for that. We just bless all of those who are not here this morning, who need your touch. And again, we thank you that you are more than able and more than willing. So again, Lord, in your glorious name we pray. Amen. Amen. All righty.